Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled at to be with you this Saturday. Every Saturday about the same time, seems like.
Odd how that happens.
That voice you just heard is Mark Clouseau Tobin. The chief inspector himself is in here.
And when we speak of Clouseau, it is the original, Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
There was none better than him. Steve Martin tried, but...
Yeah, I couldn't get close.
No.
Yeah, what the hey, you know. Your ranking and your fishing numbers every year, every morning, every Saturday morning, I'll say, you know, I'll rank you 34th or wherever you're at. You went to number 8.
How did I do that?
You gave me some walleye.
Oh, that's right. How was it?
Oh, ho.
Orgasmic?
Oh, my. It was unbelievable. You know, I fell down on the floor and looked like Curly going on his side, eating it, you know, spinning in circles.
Look at what we have here.
You forget.
How good it is.
How good walleye is.
It's, I'd have to say almost the best, but, you know, I like brim. I like bluegill, too. That's
the
awful good.
Second best thing you can put to your lips is walleye.
First?
I'm not going there.
Unbelievable.
Cool. Well, we're going to try a couple of different fish today.
What is this
Thanks
fish?
To our in-guest studio, Greg Thompson. Greg, hello.
I call him Doug.
Doug.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I think he looks more like a Doug than he does Greg, but that's just from a distance.
That could be.
What is this fish?
We've got three.
We've got Oscars, we've got Midas cichlids, and we've got sea trout from a trip a couple of weeks ago. I fished in the Everglades off of an airboat.
Really?
Yeah, it was a hoot.
Now, here we finally got an Oscar.
Congratulations. Award-winning program.
We got award-winning program. You know, I think we need to do this. I know there's a store where you can get these award things, you know, that's big on a lot of insurance agents, give them to insurance agents.
I know a place I can get them engraved.
School teachers give them to school teachers all these awards all the time. So I'm going to give you one, and then you give me one back, and we'll say this is an award-winning radio show.
It's a deal.
It's a deal.
That's the only way it will become award-winning, but...
Oh, well. I ran into a guy who bought a Jackson kayak.
You ran in? Did you hurt him?
Not bad. Not bad. I just ran over the front part.
Okay.
I never saw anybody more giddier in my entire life.
Oh, speaking of such things, Joe Falco, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, they're having their first kayak tournament of the year today on Lake Mazingo.
Mazingo?
Yeah. So I don't know how many participants are, but I'm gonna have Joe come in the studio next week and recap what happened on this tournament. But
I never saw anybody so darn excited about owning a boat in my entire life on the deal. And I turned him on to Guy Park up here by Platte City.
Oh yeah,
and he went down there and he caught these hybrid bluegill.
Did he really? Wow.
On a fly rod.
Out of a kayak. How fun.
He said he was in seventh heaven. He said he was the only person on the lake.
Well, oh, now how can you beat that?
Oh, unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. The Kansas lakes, the flood control lakes are in a bad way. They're all coming up and they're getting muddy. But what the silver lining to this, if you want to go fishing on the Kansas side, go to some of the small city and county lakes because they're not flood control. So their lake level doesn't fluctuate. They can't. So you get some of these Jackson kayaks, the fishing kayaks, and get out there on some of those city and county lakes, and you'll just have a ball. But Joe Falco with Sportsman's Outfitter, they've got all these. He's going crazy on all these accessories that they have. Oh. It's just incredible all the different things that you can put on these. And he's putting trolling motors on a lot of them. A lot of them just have pedals, so you can fish hands-free. They're just so cool. he just had a couple bought two, and they've got so many different accessories on them. This thing's going to wind up, both of them are going to run around $10,000.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be, I mean, you don't have to have that much on them.
No,
but
that
that's
would
just,
be cool.
You, I'm telling you.
It'd be cool.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I have a fish finder.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Put electronics.
Little live
put
wells.
Electronics, live well. You know, your sky's the limit on this thing.
Yeah.
Trolling motors.
But get down there, Sportsman's Outfitter. They've got a whole bunch of really cool ones.
I think he bought it down with Joe, and I didn't ask him that, but I assume he did. I listened to the show, but he was just giddy. I mean, I've been around a lot, you know, and this guy was giddy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
how fun.
Just, he said he can't, he's on, I guarantee it's loaded up, ready to go this morning. He's going back to Guy Park.
Well, and to get those bluegill, I'm telling you, there's to me, that's the best eating fish that there is.
Awful sweet. Sweet meat.
Walleye is close, but yeah it's like a sweet meat.
Sweet meat is what it is. Bluegill. You know, the big bluegill are fantastic, but it's hard to catch a big bluegill.
Right.
You know, they're such prolific breeders that they stun each other, you know, basically on the deal. We got a guy coming on today. Explain this to me now.
Steve Barden, he's a biologist down in Texas, and what he specializes in is helping people manage their small lakes or ponds,
mm-hmm.
and get them in balance, and you know, does the whole thing. And he does it all over the country. He can do it by phone. He can travel to where you're at and help you with it. But that's the it should be interesting to find out. You know, one of the first and foremost things I want to find out is a crappie a good thing to have in a pond.
Sure.
And we'll find out.
You know, I've done several shows over the years with biologists and ponds, and it's quite an ordeal. And what I jested out of the thing was that it needs to be harvested.
Right.
And I'm amazed at the people that won't let you take fish out of a pond. That kind of, I don't know, bother them. It's their right. They can do whatever they want to.
But they're not helping
the
situation at all.
Helping the situation. And it's a maintenance thing. Yeah, I mean, you have to, between fighting the muskrats, the beavers, you know, and the fishery, you know, only X amount of food gets in that fishery.
Right.
You know.
But that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll talk to Steve and find out exactly. But, yeah, crappie are not a good thing to have in a pond.
Now then, for our duckaholics that are listening, I don't think I've ever got so much feedback when we had Ramsey Russell.
He was great.
We got to get him back on
someday
in our lives. You know, I don't know when that'll happen. But what a great guy. And you know, in the off season, which is not really, because he can hook up with Ramsey Russell and go to Argentina in the morning and go shoot ducks.
Yeah, like he says, it's opening day of duck season somewhere.
Somewhere.
Every day.
The Caspian Sea is where you're supposed to go now.
Is that right?
This is the end thing. But you're only limited 100 mallards a day.
Only.
Only. So you got to get after them. You know, now I've got some guys that I hunt with. Andy Burnham, I hunt with him a lot. There's no way he'd kill 100 ducks in one day. He'd have to have 5,000 rounds of ammunition.
You're right.
I don't understand the boy, you know. But anyway, the duck numbers, here's where I'm headed with this. In the off season, I worry about the duck hatch. So I talked to our good friend at Delta Waterfowl, John Debney. John says to me, he said the habitat in South Dakota from a 1 to a 10, 10 being the ultimate, is probably a 9.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
They've had huge snows,
right,
and melting very slowly. And I've got a picture of a mailbox sticking out of the snow about 3 weeks ago. Just barely could see it. That's how much snow is up across there. So that creates a runoff and creates, you know, perfect habitat for ducks. North Dakota from a 1 to a 10 is probably a 5 or 6. They have not had the influx of rain, especially in what they call the Matadosa, which is the northwest quadrant of North Dakota. So it's down a little bit. But as I said that, I turned on the radar the other morning, and they were getting a plethora of rain.
A plethora?
Across, plethora.
Ooh, really?
Of rain.
That must be a lot.
That's a lot. And some snow. And John had just talked to him a couple days ago, and he was still hunting snow geese. They were up in Manitoba, still hunting snow geese, and the season's still open up there. And then Saskatchewan, around Saskatoon, a lot of ducks through the Midwest come out of that area right there. It's not very good. It's probably a 4 as far as habitat. So that gives you the heads up on the thing. They've already announced duck season. I think it's November 2nd or something this year where it starts in the north zone. So kind of looking forward to it. Like you look forward to the crappie fishing, I look forward to the duck season. So that's what it's all about.
Hey, are we on Facebook Live? Hey, Facebook Live.
We are.
This, I know technology is kind of new to Fred, but yeah, hello, Facebook followers.
Oh, how are they doing this? We're on Facebook Live right now.
People are watching us live just like on television.
We got 1, 2 people watching, or how many?
It might be 3, but he just couldn't find anything else to watch.
I understand.
Hey, in other countries, are they still using lead shot for their ducks?
I don't know that for a fact. I would assume so. You know, I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, I think that was much to do about nothing personally, but what the hey, you know, so we'll see.
Thank you, Garrett. My son Garrett is manning the Facebook Live for us, so thank you, my son.
So you can log on Facebook right now and watching our ugly faces, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
scary.
I don't know
scary
about
thought.
My ugly face, but.
Yeah, well. You definitely have a face made for radio.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't find my best side, so I just sit down.
There is no best side.
No, I didn't think so.
Son, I'm going to have a long talk to you when we get off the air. My goodness, what's the matter with this guy? Fishing below the dam at Truman?
It's tailed off a little bit, but they haven't been running water. Lake's coming up again. It was down within 3 feet of normal earlier in the week, and now as of yesterday, it was up 11 feet and coming up fast. It's coming up fast again, and it's muddy. Talked to Richard Bowling, our favorite guide on Truman, and he said that he was out yesterday and caught a lot of crappie, but they're not up on the banks. He's not getting them up on the banks, and he doesn't think they're going to spawn on the bank because the lake's coming up again so fast. It's been up and down a lot this year, but he's catching them in anywhere from 8 to 12 foot of water in the middle of coves, and he's spider rigging, but he's seen some people polling and catching some that way too, but a lot of people are pounding the banks and not real good right now doing that.
So he thinks it's not going to happen.
He thinks it's going to happen, but it's just going to happen deeper. So, you know, typically a lot of people around the middle of April start pounding the banks for the crappie, and they just haven't been there so much on Truman. Lake of the Ozarks, they're up on the banks right now.
Are they?
It was kind of weird. Now, I was down there last week. How much time do we have? I left
Laura, we got 3 minutes.
Last weekend, I don't know what happened, but I had a friend that was down there a couple of days before I got down there and caught a lot of crappie shallow. And I got down there and could not buy a fish up shallow.
How were you holding your mouth? You got to hold it like this.
It wasn't that way. Maybe that's what I was doing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I didn't catch one fish shallow, but so I fished some deeper stuff and just hammered them. I mean, just one after another, but they were like 8 feet deep. And they were suspended about 4 feet off the bottom. I don't know what the deal was, but they backed off. But then as of yesterday, I talked to some people that are down there, and they're back up on the banks. So they're in and out, in and out.
Weird year anyway.
Yeah, right. And it's still so cool. I mean, the water is still in the 50s.
What Thursday, I think it's going down to 40-something, you know, up in where I'm from. I saw on the long-range weather forecast. It's, you know, this is May. Man, you know, this shit thing starts sort of warming up a little bit.
Crazy. Did you ever go morella hunting?
I never did.
What?
I walk by quite a few and don't pick them, you know.
You didn't know such thing.
Oh, yeah. I tell that to people and they go, what? I eat 3 a year and that's plenty.
You're crazy.
I know that, but that's beside the point. But, I'm mushroom thing has never been that big a deal to me in my life, you know. So you could go right now. Turkey hunting right now is as good as it's going to get. This is your 2 out in the bottom of the ninth. This is the last weekend in Missouri. Boy, the guys, yesterday I talked to a guy who called in 5 gobblers.
Wow.
The hens are on the nest, you know. So, you know, if you're going, you're getting close to the end of the game, but you better get out there. But you hear one, especially around 10 o'clock, he's very gullible. You're going to get him on the deal. I did hear of a hunting accident, but I didn't follow it up far enough to come forth with it, and that's my fault. I don't know if it was an old hunting accident from several years ago or it was a fresh one, but it was something involved with the fan of the wild turkey again.
Why would you do that?
They got to outlaw it. They got to stop it. That's all there is to it. There isn't one turkey out there worth somebody losing their eyesight or their life over the deal. We got to take a little bit of a break. We're going to eat while we're in pause here. Oscar, going to eat Oscar. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, and sea trout.
We are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. My goodness, I can't say enough good things about this human. It's Terry Lee. What a gentleman. What a great facility. They're located just west of 435 up here on Southern Road, at the end of Southern Road up there. So, and they have a hopper sale. If you guys that are pulling the 18-wheelers know what I'm talking about, a hopper trailer, and they're actually putting them on sale. But if you've got a trailer that's in need of disrepair, there's just the finest people that walk the face of the earth. Sales, service, and parts. Again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road. They have a 10-bay garage. They will get you in. They will get you out. They will do it professionally. They will be exceptionally nice to you. They're nice people.
Yes, they are.
Got secretary's a little mean, but he does. She didn't like me. I don't understand. We'll go into that in detail one of these days. But anyway, sales, service, and parts. Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend Terry Lee. This is my buddy. Man, go by. You see him, and he'll be your friend for life. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you just happen to be joining us, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, in here with my co-host, Mark Clouseau-Tobin. Yes, he
Hello
is.
Hello there, you old Swedish salty sea dog, are you?
We got him posted bond. He is out. He's in society. We're brought to you by, and proudly so, I might add, King City Lumber Company. For all you humans that have gone through the flood and going to have to rebuild, these are the people you need to talk to. They care about you. They're good humans. They've been around forever. KingCityLumber.com. Go to their website. If you don't see it, I'd be shocked that you would like. They'll help you design one. They have first-class carpenters. There's nobody finer. They've been doing this since Moby Dick was a sardine. So, this is a great company. Marty and Monty Tunks, just love them dearly. KingCityLumber.com. Do you know what's an important thing about King City, Missouri? Anybody? I shouldn't even ask you two guys. You talk about basic humans. I'm surrounded by basic humans this morning. Roger Worley came from King City.
Is that right?
The all-pro corner for the St. Louis Cardinals. In King City, Missouri, could run backwards faster than he could forward. Seriously. He would run track meet backward and win.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He had a lot of service up there. He mowed faster than anybody else.
I think that fish is affecting
him. Yeah, his brain.
And for the camera up here, here we go. Inaugural banquet, August the 17th up at St. Joe for Delta Waterfowl. And
what chapter would that be?
That'd be the Squaw Creek chapter, which you're not supposed to mention that name on the air, Squaw Creek. It's a derogatory statement, but it wasn't. We didn't mean it to be. It's a duck hunters organization. Now, this is the inaugural one. It's August the 17th. So you can get on the website at Delta and get your tickets. You better be doing it because there's only going to be 300 tickets, and it looks to me like it's going to be sold out. But the best part about this one is, since how we're the newest kid on the block, they're going to give us special items, and it's going to be very, very special. And it's going to be quite a deal, some of the items that are going to be there for sale. I'm actually giving away a duck hunt for two on that deal, too. But for a platinum sponsor, which costs you $1,000, that's 8 event tickets, 8 Delta Waterfowl memberships, 8 people sit at your table, Delta hats, and koozies. Got to have the koozies.
Oh, yeah.
Reserved seating. Preferred advertising on social media during the event, and 10 chances on sponsors only gun. So you're going to have 10 chances to win, probably a new Benelli or Beretta. We haven't determined what that is yet, but this is not for the faint of heart. This is going to be pretty cool.
What's the date?
It's August the 17th. You're cooking.
I knew that.
Yeah, you knew that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You poor man. I roped you right into that, didn't I?
Yeah, how could I say no on the air?
Yeah, I know.
What time and where?
Well, it is going to be at 1205 North 49th Terrace in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is basically, if you're coming out of Kansas City Market, come up by 29, take a ride on Frederick, go east on the kind of on the east side of St. Joseph, Missouri, August the 17th. We're going to have the social hour start at 5. You can get so social you can't believe it. And the dinner is at 7.
What do we got to have for dinner?
Mark is cooking, and you didn't know this, but we're shrimp, pork butts.
Pork butt, really?
We have a lot of pork butts and some chicken.
All right.
And, boy, we got a lot of it. The Triumph Food up there they've been so kind. Johnson Controls up there in St. Joe gave away 10 trolling batteries that are going to be given away.
I need a new one.
Well, this is, if you go buy one, they're not for the faint of heart. You know,
they're
a lot of money.
Right.
But this is going to be, this is not going to be like a DU banquet. This is going to be bigger, better, faster, more enthusiastic. It's going to be cool. You're going to really like this. So I'm really looking forward to it. And it's a long way away, August 17th. But if you want to come to this, there's only going to be 300 tickets. So you better get on Delta's website and get going with this and get your money in on the deal. So the tickets consist of youth age 8 to 15, $20. Pretty good. Tickets for singles are $45, couples are $70. So we'd love to see you up there. Mark's going to be signing autographs and cooking. What about
You're
this
so
Oscar we just ate?
Yeah, that was really good. All of it was. The cichlid.
Midas cichlid.
The Oscar and the sea trout. All real good. Very firm and mild. There's no fishy taste to them at all.
None.
All of them caught right around Everglades City, Florida.
Producer Chris, what did you think?
He don't think.
I had the sea trout. And it was really good. I like rainbow trout a lot. I think it's a really good fish to eat. It's kind of similar to like a salmon, but it's nice and not too fishy.
Well, that sea trout, do you know what a sea trout is?
I do not know, so maybe it's not.
It is actually a trout. It's an ocean-going brown trout.
Trout, but what it is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Just like a steelhead is an ocean-going rainbow.
Yeah.
And hello, we on Facebook Live still? Son Garrett is manning the show here. Welcome to the 810 Studios for our Facebook viewers. And I don't know if you can pan around. This is what the studio looks like here at 810. And the control board, Chris Bolig, our crack producer, back there behind the glass. So that's what it looks like here at 810 Studios.
Ladies, for any of the ladies who are working, Chris is available.
Are you still available? How did that happen?
Off the market.
You're off the market.
Oh. Yes.
Ooh. That's a news flash. Stop that. Oh, my. Let's go on Fox News, CBS. Let's announce that. You're off the market? What happened?
I've actually been in a relationship for a few years now.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I don't know how groove I am. I assumed you were. Oh, well. Okay, ladies. Forget about it. He's done deal. Stick a fork in him. You know. Yeah, I'll talk to you off the air about that. We'll get you straightened up. What the hey? What my beloved walleye? We always talk walleye. Sometime Saturday morning, got to be on a tear. They got to be back out on the flats, I would assume, and getting a grocery bag back on, aren't they?
Starting to, but you know this lake fluctuation has got everything kind of in turmoil. So it should be happening, but you know things got to stabilize a little bit before it really gets good. But it's that time. It's, you know, normally
you're
around the
close,
beginning, middle of May is when they've recovered from the spawn. And they start to really chow down during the summer. So
there's tons
the
of
best time.
In the water right now, too.
Oh,
with
I know.
All this runoff.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's a good point.
Tell us real quick about the these fish that you caught.
The Oscars, we took an airboat, 600 horsepower. It was amazing.
Wow.
Pull the skin back on your face.
600 horsepower.
Yeah, so there's four of us on this airboat, and we went about 45 minutes across the Everglades into a canal that you couldn't get to unless you had an airboat. And these things were just kind of up on the shores, and if you could see a rock where it was shiny and then it dropped off dark, you could just throw up there and just, you could see three or four of them go after it.
No kidding. How fun. They look like they'd fight pretty good.
We used light tackle, light line, and they were a hoot. They got teeth. The gators, you'd have to kind of pull them out of the water because the gators would come up to the boat to try to get your fish off.
That's a little different.
That was fun. I mean, they're not going to get in the boat. Not that big a deal.
I'd certainly hope not.
Well, he did cut about a 5-foot stick before we went in, just in case we had to push one out of the way. No big deal. Lots of birds. It was just a cool experience. I'd never done that before.
You need to post a couple of pictures up on our Facebook page.
I'll do it. I thought I did, but I think I already did.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I think
they're
I already
really
did.
A beautiful fish.
Oh, they. And for people that don't know what's going on, in South Florida, people dump their aquariums sometimes into the canals. Well, down there, it's the same as South America, which is where most of these tropical fish came from. And so they decided down there they were going to put Oscars in to control all these other invasive species fish, but they didn't think about the fact that these are very prolific breeders and there's no predators for them. So there's plenty of them, and now they put in peacock bass to control them, and their peacock bass are getting up to middle 9 pounds.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, how fun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Wow.
Florida's got more problems than a runover dog. I swear. You know, if you pick up the news and the paper, there's something weird going on in Florida. I think it's the way the tilting of the earth and all the stuff falls down to the panhandle down in Florida. All the weird humans are in Florida. There is no doubt in my mind. You know.
You would fit in well.
I would. I got nephews down there. They fit in really, really
I'm not surprised you have relatives down there.
You know, about 2 weeks ago, we had on Dr. Jim Sparks. And I was having one of those senior citizen moments. I'm 68 years old. I'm allowed to have these. But I couldn't remember, and he was so kind to me and took me in my poor old dog. And the dog left a deposit on his front room floor there. Eagle Animal Hospital. He is the great. I still get feedback from that show.
Yeah, he's great. We need to have him back on too.
Oh, he's phenomenal. There's a big thing going on in the dog industry. A lot of dogs are going deaf.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Huh? Huh?
Just kidding.
So when you whistle at your dog and he don't come to you, maybe he's got an ear problem. I want to talk to him about that. And I saw two. I saw a TV special or saw or heard something. I read a lot and I want to talk about that. I wonder what's causing this.
What I remember from that show was what he was going to name his boat, Table Scraps, because he said he did most of his business because people fed their dogs and their animals table scraps instead of food.
And killing them with kindness is what you're doing. Yep.
Yeah, and that's real easy to do. They're professional mooches. You know, and you said if you've got like that dog of mine, you said to supper table, he comes in, usually he's out of the house at that time because he mooches so much. But if they'll look at the big brown eyes, it's pretty hard
to
say
resist.
No.
Yeah.
You know, on the deal. So what the hey. Now, who's our guest?
We have Steve Barden, biologist from Texas, going to be on here after the break.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. This is the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer.
Our Facebook went away?
Yeah. Sorry
Nobody
about that.
Liked us, or what was the deal?
No, there was actually quite a few people watching. We couldn't respond to them because
they couldn't hear the guest sound. Could
well, that's what's with our upcoming guest. We didn't think about this last night when we decided that we were going to do Facebook Live. We didn't think that there's no way that the Facebook followers could hear our guest, so we had to sign off. We'll do that again though next time we have an in studio guest for the entire hour.
Can we figure this out?
There's just no way. I don't know.
Is there no way of doing it? Seriously, Chris?
I think there's a way to do it. I just would have to look into it more. I think you if you have a laptop, I think it's definitely possible to. There's a way. There's a way. Yeah.
I would assume so.
There's a way. Huh. There's a way. Don't worry, Fred.
I'm not worried about these other guys' idea. I just soon say anonymous, you know, so they don't recognize me in the speeding tickets and stuff.
This is a guy that didn't even know about Facebook and didn't know whether we should even have a page.
That's true.
Wasn't he?
Right.
It wasn't it him?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I'm not in love with it right now, to be honest with you. You know, I look at it every once in a while. You know, a couple weeks ago I looked at it, you know, but I don't know. I think it's invasive on your life. That's what I think it is. You know the deal, and it causes more grief than it does good.
It can be entertaining.
A good way to put it. Yeah.
And that other voice was Greg Thompson. Greg brought in some fish for us to try today, and we really, really appreciate that. It was really good.
Thanks,
Oscar. Sea trout. It was phenomenal. Very mild. We need to take a trip to Florida to catch some of these.
Yeah, we need an excuse to go fishing.
Yeah, I know. We always need one of those, yeah.
I'm going to eat while you talk to Steve here.
Okay. Well, speaking of fish, we have a guy that makes a living studying fish. It would be Steve Barton. He is a fisheries biologist down in Texas. He has a company called Texas Pro Lake Management. Good morning, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, appreciate it. Tell me, first of all, what is Texas Pro Lake Management?
Yeah, so Texas Pro Lake Management. In Texas, we have so many private lakes, and our state biologists don't work on private waters. So we have fisheries biologists that are in the private sector that help people manage and reach their goals on private water. So it's a lake management company.
When you say reach their goals, what is the primary goal down there? Is that just to have trophy bass, or does it vary a little bit?
It varies. It's very trendy. So in the early 2000s, it was trophy bass with Florida genetics. And then, you know, later on, early 2010, it changed to trophy sunfish. And then now it's more recreational bass using feed train fish. Like it just is very cyclic.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. Big question here. Are crappie a good thing to have in a pond?
Right. So, first of all, where did you guys find that article?
Funny you should ask that.
On Facebook. No. Crappie can be a good thing for a pond if it's the right size pond with heavy management. But in most situations, crappie can be pretty detrimental to a pond.
Why is that?
Mainly because they grow extremely slow and they have very high reproductive potential. They have a lot of offspring, and those offspring don't grow very quickly, which does provide forage for largemouth, but it also means there's a lot of mouths in the food chain that are eating some of those smaller fish species, so they just prevent growth of everybody.
So can they compete with bass in the same body of water? I mean, successfully? Is there any scenario where they can coexist?
They absolutely do compete with largemouth successfully, and it's just by sheer volume of fish. You know, you have enough of those small little mouths, they eat that forage before it can grow up to feed the largemouth. So they kind of just stop the largemouth from having forage available to them. And the weird thing about crappie and largemouth, crappie are a schooling predator. So they school around some sort of habitat or structure, and they rarely move. Largemouth are an ambush-type predator. They live more towards the shoreline, solitary, around one piece of structure. That school of crappie doesn't interact with that largemouth very often. So, of course, the largemouth would eat a crappie if they swam by, but that just doesn't happen as often.
Well, I guess that kind of answers my question. I was going to say, doesn't the crappie offer a food for the largemouth? But they just don't.
Yeah, everybody wants that to work.
Right.
It don't work that way necessarily. Mother Nature does it.
That's right.
You've got a Facebook page and just some fantastic articles on that. And let me encourage anybody to go to his Facebook page. How can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Facebook page is the easiest way, just because, once again, I'm kind of like crappie, just sheer volume of articles I put out. But if you want to find me on Facebook, the very best way to do it is just to use @TXProLake. So you kind of shorten my company name there, @TXProLake, and that will pull up the Facebook page. We post daily some sort of tip. We also do a little bit on Instagram and Twitter, but not near as much. And there's a website, and that's TXProLake.com. And that's more for, you know, really in-depth information.
Well, it's amazing, the different articles that you've done. Anything from how to hold a bass correctly to, I mean, it's just a myriad of different topics that he covers. So, yeah, definitely check out his website. What is the smallest size of a lake that you should have crappie in?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're dead set on crappie, the safest acreage that you could stock into and not really get to that overpopulation problem would be 15 surface acres. At 15 surface acres, you can survive having crappie and start to get them to thrive.
Is there a minimum depth that you should have in your pond? And I would imagine it would maybe vary depending on what part of the country you're in. But is there a minimum depth that you should have a body of water?
Well, in Texas, we like to say that depth is for storage because we're going to get a drought, so we're going to need that storage water. But the truth is that all fisheries get a thermocline during the summer. And if you have a thermocline during the summer, then the water above the thermocline is actually all the water that your fish will be utilizing because that's where the oxygen is. Below the thermocline, there's very little oxygen, so your fish don't utilize that. So depending on where you are in the country and where that thermocline sets up, that's all that's usable. So that's somewhere between 6 and 8 foot usually. Anything below 6 or 8 foot, it's low oxygen. So once again, that's just storage water, and it's not even usable to your fish during the summer.
That's a good point.
What about the northern, here in the Midwest or even further north, how deep should your pond be?
So once again, you're going to get a thermocline there. So it just depends on the depth of that thermocline. I rarely tell people to go beyond that 8 foot unless they're going to do some aeration and things like that, or they need that higher storage water, even in the Midwest.
Okay. Mm.
Interesting.
White crappie as opposed to black crappie.
There is no such thing.
So white crappie... Oh, come on. Man... I know it's early, guys, but so white crappie are absolutely never stocked in a pond situation. And the reason is they have even more eggs. So a black crappie has about 20,000 eggs per pound of body weight, and a white crappie is upwards of 30,000 per pound of body weight. So white crappie have more eggs, a little more aggressive of predator. So we just don't ever stock white crappie. If you're going to stock crappie in your pond, you either stock black crappie or a hybrid. Now, the problem with the hybrid is you have to really trust your fish supplier because you can't tell the difference between a black crappie and a hybrid crappie.
Hmm. Interesting point.
Can crappie and bluegill coexist?
Yeah, absolutely. So bluegill are insectivores. They're living on the shoreline eating insects. Crappie are going to eat that softer forage. Once again, they're a schooling predator, so they're out in the lake schooling. And the crappie will eat some juvenile bluegill. It's not their preferred forage, but they will do it.
Hmm. You were talking about you know people that own ponds, Fred, that they won't let you keep anything.
Yeah, and that's I've talked to this type of environment again, with other biologists. But the worst thing you can do is not take some fish out of your pond. I mean, there's only X amount of groceries in that pond for the fish. You better harvest some of the fish out of there,
Is that right, Steve?
That's absolutely correct. We all grew up with catch and release.
Yep.
And catch and release is the king of, public freshwater fisheries because there's so many users of that resource. Whenever you narrow it down and there's a handful of users of a resource, and as you're saying, in a pond, there's only a finite amount of resources for your fish. So we have to kind of be like Thanos. Y'all seen the Marvel Avengers movies, right? The Thanos guy wants to delete half the people on Earth so that the resources will be available to everybody else.
Makes sense.
We kind of have to be like that for pond management, right? We need to thin down... thin down that predator population every year so there's more forage available.
Can we supplement these fish? Food?
Yeah, you absolutely can. Yep, you absolutely can. There's some great fish foods on the market. And these higher protein fish foods that have more digestible protein, they're made of, some sort of animal protein, chicken or fish, that's actually digestible to the fish rather than some sort of carbohydrate that's not digestible. Those things will grow bluegill quickly. You can feed your largemouth bass. You can get feed-trained largemouth, or you can get pellets that'll train those fish. And I even have crappie that'll come up and eat fish food from time to time.
Is that right?
Cool. Wow. That's our kind of place, Tobin.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole problem with a small body of water is, you know, once you deplete the food source and there's too many fish in there, then they become stunted.
Sure. Yeah.
But this is one way that you can avoid that problem. Now, how often do you have to feed them?
So I make a very specific feed recommendation. I feed 2 hours before dark, and I make a large feeding at that time, and then 30 minutes later, I feed again a small feeding.
Really?
So the reason I'm right before dark is because your oxygen level increases throughout the day, so your fish should be most active and most available to eat fish food right before dark. So I go 2 hours before dark, and then that second feeding 30 minutes later will help all those fish that aren't aggressive, right? So the real aggressive fish, they come and they feed quickly, they fill up on pellets. 30 minutes later, they didn't have time to digest those pellets, so the next wave of fish, I can feed more fish that way.
Do you do this every day?
Every day. We use we use fish feeders, so they're on timers. I manage about 75 lakes, so I couldn't possibly be out all every day. So we use fish feeders to get that done.
Is there a food that you recommend?
Yeah, so there is a specific food I recommend. It's called Optimal. They make a food for bluegill. They make a food for largemouth bass, general pond, starter foods. And the really unique thing about Optimal fish food, whenever we were designing that food, most feeds are round. And I wanted to get away from a round feed and make something that's more worm-like, like an insect, because there's not many round insects. So through the extruding process, we made an elongated pellet similar to rabbit food, but kind of various shapes. So the optimal bags of fish food will have this worm-like pellet, and there'll be multiple sizes to feed all different sizes of fish.
Now, let's go through that. That's pretty interesting to me. But if let's say I do have a 15-acre pond, which is very, very rare, if you had a 15-acre pond, how in the world do I figure out, do I give them 5 pounds of this stuff a day? Do I give them a pound of it? Do I give them 20 pounds of it? How do I figure out, do I have to know the volume of the fish in the fishery? I mean, this could get complicated real quick, couldn't it?
Well, it is complicated, absolutely. I think you look at, number one, you guys have some great private fisheries biologists there in the Midwest. So you guys, anytime you need somebody, you would lean on a resource to figure this kind of stuff out. But there's general feed recommendations. You don't want to feed more than 10 pounds of feed per surface acre per week.
Okay.
Number one, you don't want to afford to feed more than 10 pounds per
surface
acre
per week.
For me, what I try to do is feed about a pound a day out of my feeders. And then instead of figuring out, how much feed do I need to feed per surface acre, I figure that I need a feeder for every 3 to 5 acres. So if I have a 15-acre lake, I would put 3 feeders up, feed 3 pounds a day.
Well, that's not so bad.
That's not so bad. Not a deal.
Can I switch gears a little bit? Up here in the Midwest, we've got a ton of problems with the lake fluctuation. I'm talking 12, 15 feet right now. How does that affect the crappie spawn?
So it's not going to fluctuate 15 feet in a week, correct?
No.
No, but, we're having a foot or sometimes 2 foot a day.
Yeah, so that's no big deal. So fish, they can spawn just about at any depth whenever they find, the right substrate. And they live in that environment, so they know that fluctuation. So they're going to go spawn. So the crappie go to shoreline, they build the nest, they start dropping eggs. Eggs are only eggs for 24 to 48 hours.
Really?
So unless you're dropping the water, enough per day to dry that bed out, it's not going to affect them at all.
So
they're going to spawn a little deeper than in other lakes that don't fluctuate. But they'll find the right substrate at the depth that they know is going to stay, available for the nest.
This is Steve Barden that we're visiting with. He's a fishery biologist, lives in Texas, specializing in small lake management. Let me ask you another question, getting back to ponds. A problem that we have here, and I'm sure you're probably down there as well, if you're trying to fish from the bank, a lot of times we have problems with algae or different kinds of weed growth. Is there any way to correct those kind of problems?
Yeah, so algae or vegetation growth in a pond is typically a symptom of, unfortunately, a poor design of a pond. So plants can only grow in areas where sunlight can penetrate the bottom and there's an excess of nutrient.
Makes sense.
So yeah. Typically, if you have plants growing and they're really invasive, you know, they're taking over the entire pond, that's because the pond's either too shallow or too clear.
Huh.
So the plant growth is a symptom of that, right? That's like you going to the doctor and saying, I have a cough. And then as he figures things out, he's like, well, no, you have bronchitis. The cough is just a symptom of bronchitis.
Huh.
So if it's not too shallow or too clear, then the plant growth is because of too much nutrient. So I've seen in small ponds, like whenever we're talking, you know, a quarter acre or smaller, the direction you mow your grass can cause an algae bloom. If the lawn clippings are laying in the water, you have algae. If the lawn clippings are in the lawn, you don't have algae.
Interesting.
But, you know, there's so much to this.
It can be that simple.
Having a pond on your property can be a burden if you're not doing it right. If you want a true fisheries, again, Texas Pro Rate Management.
Pro Lake.
If someone would Google that, would that be how they would get hooked up with you?
Yeah, Texas Pro Lake Management. Anytime you Google that, we come up pretty quick. There's some companies that have bought, you know, ad revenue, and I don't do that kind of stuff. So we might be down the list one or two, but on Google, but. We'll come up, or the Facebook page, because things like what I just said about how to mow your grass, guys, that was a Facebook post 2 years ago. Like, oh. That stuff is on there. I'm making sure to give a little nugget like that almost every day.
Well, Steve, we are unfortunately out of time, but let me encourage anybody to go check out his Facebook page. There's some cool stuff on there. He's got a video of two bass spawning.
Cool.
So cool. I mean, there's just so much great information on there. Steve, want to thank you, sir. This was not near enough time. We've got to have you back on here
got
in the
to.
Near future.
Top priority. You got to come back with it. Can you do that, Steve?
Yeah, guys. Anytime. It was a blast. You guys just call me. You need somebody to fill in.
It don't take much fill in for us. That's an answer.
You're a good man. Thank
All
you
right.
so
Thanks
much, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, buddy. All right. Boy, I tell you what. That is a huge deal. A lot of people fish nothing but farm ponds.
Right.
And this is a big deal when you get talking about this.
That was not near enough time.
Oh, never.
We just scratched
with this
the
kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're a little slow on the uptake. You'd ask him a question. There was too much of a pause. But other than that, he was just a pretty good human. Hey, we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. My favorite human is Trevin Reed. One of those people that you should meet once in your life. Maybe you don't want to meet him twice, but he's the nicest guy you ever do. The whole dealership is nice. They sold 22 vehicles in the blink of an eye, the Silverado pickups.
Non-commissioned
sales. Non-commissioned
sales. Such an easy way to buy a vehicle.
People driving from Des Moines and Topeka and Columbia, Missouri to go to St. Joe, Missouri to Reed Chevrolet, and great people. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoors.
Thanks for the fish, Greg.
You're welcome.
So long, everybody.